Second hour of Darren and Donick here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland, Steve Lehman, News Channel 5 alongside. We'll check in with Willie Donick out in the desert. Predators wrap up against the Coyotes Thursday evening. Wrap up this five-game road trip. We now say hello. We talk to him every week on the program. To Predators GM David Poile. That's brought to you every week by Gary Force Acura. David, how you doing?
Not too bad. I got a little bit of a sore throat here, Darren, so this might not be our best. I might have to ask you the questions.
Well, I hope you get past that. That stinks. Were you in general manager's meetings? Are you on the road trip or no?
I was. I went to Colorado and Dallas, but then I went up to Toronto for the Hockey Hall of Fame, and then we had a GM's meeting yesterday, and I got back here late last night.
How were the inductions, and how was everything in Toronto?
Oh, the inductions are always fantastic. The speeches are always good. It's, I've known a lot of these guys over the years, and you get to see their families at their at time, and it's just a really a cool experience. The hall where they actually do the ceremony is really a neat place, the NHL Hall of Fame. If anybody has a chance to get up there to Toronto, it's really worth going to see it. Lots of great memorabilia, some interactive stuff. It's just a fantastic day that you can spend with the family. So I really enjoy that a lot.
Did it a couple years ago, several weeks after the run to the Stanley Cup Final, and went in there, the wife and I, with Predators shirts on, and I'm pretty sure that every single person in the Hockey Hall of Fame came up and made a comment of some sort. It was, like I said, it was on the heels 2 weeks probably of losing in Game 6 to the Penguins, but it is a really, really cool place.
It certainly is. I would recommend that to anybody that's a hockey fan and anybody that's got families that are into hockey. It's just a great place to spend a whole day with just cool things to do all the time.
What happened last night, David? A loss in regulation on the road? This team is plummeting. What's the wheels are off. I mean, they lost in regulation.
Wow.
Took 10 games.
I mean, I did not see the first period. I've now watched it again, and we were not very good in the first period. But after that, I thought it was our game, and it was exciting. Rocco Grimaldi get that goal in the third period. I was so sure we were going to win the game. And it's just that's twice now that we've lost to San Jose when we've had the lead in the third period. So that's not so great. But I was really proud of how we played, how we came back, how we stayed with it, how hard we fought. It was our third game in four nights. A little adversity, from a team standpoint. P.K. Subban was taken out of the game early again for two games in a row. And so we're down to five defensemen. So it was a tough night, but I really liked the way we competed and how hard we played right to the end.
Since we've got you on the line, I hinted in the first hour that there was a lot of swirling on Twitter that the Penguins were about to make a trade. It looks like they've sent Carl Hagelin to Los Angeles. Of course, the Kings will be at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, and they receive Tanner Pearson in exchange. So there you go. Rocco Grimaldi in the lineup last night gets the big goal. I so wanted that to be the game winner last night, but he gets a goal early on in the third period. He nets his first point and goal as a member of the Predators. What have you seen out of Rocco Grimaldi to this point? Obviously, he was a nice little story to talk about in camp and in preseason, but has stuck with the team. What have you seen out of him thus far? Played really well in Milwaukee before getting the call-up.
Well, he's a mini version of Victor Arvidsson. I mean, just another small player that is a great college player, and it's translated pretty good to pro hockey, but mostly at the minor league level, and he hasn't had that success to be able to stick at the NHL level. But, again, we've been using him primarily on the fourth line just as an energy type of guy to get in there, forecheck. It has been, I guess you'd say, a fairly low event line, not giving up anything but not scoring too much. But last night with his speed, he got open and got that breakaway, and he is a goal scorer, and we saw what the result, and that's a huge bonus. I mean, usually when you get a goal from the fourth line, especially at that time of the game, it's like that's money in the bank. That should have been a win for us.
We would all like to believe, David, we're perfect, but we're not. None of us are perfect. We're human beings.
You're close, Darren.
I'm not, actually. I'm not even close. There are so many great teams, but there's no perfect team. And last year it was they're in the box too much. You know, their most penalized team in the league. Well, ended up not affecting the team in the regular season. Remember the first 2 years of overtime? It was, oh, my goodness, they're not adjusting to the three-on-three format. Now this year, it's the power play. I knew
you were going there.
Yeah. You like that setup? So how do you handle this? Because you know there's going to be something every year you have to address and work on and try to fix. So how do you go about it when these things happen?
Well, it's just it's a normal day in hockey. It's just like I got my plan for the day, but I keep a little bit of a window open for the crisis of the day. I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to happen. You know, there's always just something that's new and different, which makes my job, you know, so special and so unique. And right now, there's not too much to pick at our team in terms of things that are wrong, but, you know, our specialty teams and specifically our power play are really disappointing to this point in the season. I mean, we're in the top five, I believe, in goals for. You would think that that is a direct correlation to having success in the power play. So what I'm trying to get at here is that I know it's there. I just think there's a couple of things that we're just not doing as effectively as we've done in the past, and that I know we can do. And if we can get our power play going, I mean, we should really be a tough team to beat.
Braves general manager David Poile fighting through a sore throat with us here this morning on 102.5 The Game. He's tough. He's a hockey player. He's playing through it here. David, I ask you, UC Saros been really good, and Pekka, since coming back off the injured list, has been even better than he was at the start of the season. But over the last, I guess, six starts for UC, four of them, he's given up four goals or more. Now, a lot of factors go into that. Some are back-to-backs, like last night for the guys in front of him. But is there any concern over his dip in at least numbers over the last few weeks?
Not for me. In reviewing the first period, last night it was 3-0 for San Jose, but boy, oh boy, there's some terrible, terrible plays on our part. You know, basically turnovers that were just for, you know, just easy layup type of goals. I thought UC's played really good. I love our goaltending. I think, as you said, there's always circumstances like the back-to-back games. Like last night had to be the first period. It was clearly the worst period that we played all year long, and you know, that's obviously cost us the game. But I have no doubts about UC. He's played very, very well, and as you said earlier, Pekka came back from the injury, and he's been lights out. So I like our chances with those two goalies.
So now it's off to Arizona, a chance to wrap this road trip up with a win, which would give you 7 of a possible 10 points. I know you'd love to have that. And all eyes Thursday night will be on the return of Austin Watson after the 18-game suspension to start the year. How do you anticipate him filling back into the lineup after that long absence?
I think that he'll go, you know, in a fourth-line position where he's played most of his time here with the Predators. I think we'll use him on the penalty killing, and certainly he'll be, you know, physical force that I don't say we've been missing, but I just think he's an upgrade on what we currently have. So it's more depth. I think Waddy's in really good shape. He's been chomping at the bit to play. I don't think he's that's going to be a factor in terms of his play. I think he's just ready to go and put this whole thing behind him.
David, I know you've heard this. I certainly have. When the suspension came out at the league level, there was a reaction from the fan base. There was a reaction from the hockey world. When it was then reduced by the independent arbitrator, there was a reaction out there. When that happened, the organization obviously made a statement, but were there any internal discussions about how to handle that? Or are you even allowed? I mean, could you internally sit him longer? Were there any discussions to that? And what are you even allowed to do in that situation?
Well, I think we certainly we want to support our player and his family, and we want to be support the league and the bylaws and all the things that go into why people are suspended or not suspended. And this was a very difficult situation. It's a private situation. I think in time there'll probably be an opportunity for Austin maybe to speak a little bit more on this situation. This certainly is not the right time or place. I'm not trying to compare this at all to Jordan Tutu when he was here in Nashville. But just if you just follow me for a second here with Jordan, there's lots of things going on, you know, in his personal life, and very difficult his background, et cetera. And he was put in a substance abuse program voluntarily, and it was dealing with alcohol. And he's come out and he's talked all about his past and what happened with the Predators, what happened with Coach Trotz and myself and the meetings and different things. And it's all, I think, you know, it's just all part of life of people growing up and doing things. I can tell you that Austin Watson is a good person. I can tell you that he has things that he has to work on in his life, and he's doing that. And I am very optimistic that he's going to be not only a good player, but more importantly, he's going to be a good citizen, a good father. So we all are wishing him the best.
David, if there was still the chain in the locker room, I would put it around your neck right now for this interview. For somebody who talks a lot, I can empathize with what you're going through. I've had it happen many times. My free suggestion would be a lot of emergency vitamin C and some hot drinks. And
hot tea with honey.
Yeah, hot drinks. And
I'm doing it. Well, I came in specifically for the CMAs because I thought this was my night. I thought this was going to be my chance. If Mike Fisher can sing a song, I got to have a crack at it. But
good point.
It looks like I'm going to have to wait another year.
Yeah. Convenient the voice goes when you're supposed to get up on stage, huh, and sing. Hey, thanks for doing this as always. We'll talk to you soon. Get better.
Thank you, David. Feel better.
Bye-bye.
All right, that is Predators GM David Poile. He joins us every week, and that's brought to you by Gary Force Acura. And I'm being serious. I've gone through that. I go through it, I feel like, once a year for sure, and it stinks. Because really, the best thing for him is just to shut it down.
For sure.
He's got to shut it down, hot drinks, a lot of vitamin C.
Get a good nap in.
Good nap.
Thankfully, the weather today is perfect napping weather.
With these night games, a nap is a good thing.
It could be 85 and sunny right now. You'd sign up for the nap.
We'll come back with Scott Ramsey. We can discuss some of the things with him that we've already talked about today. We do that next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren and Donnie, Darren McFarland, Steve Lehman, News Channel 5, alongside David Poile just joining us, gutting through that interview.
Yeah.
Giving us everything he had.
Somebody get that man a hot tea.
And by the way, I should have told him, too, go get a steroid pack. That helps, too.
Those always help.
Right? Get the steroid pack, a lot of vitamin C, hot drinks, and unfortunately, you're going to have to shut it down
for
about 24 or 48 hours.
Yeah. Whatever the ailment is, steroid packs usually work. Now, you can't take them for anything, but if the doctor will give it to you, take it.
Yeah, that's right. We say hello to Scott Ramsey. Hopefully he's not battling anything right now. President and CEO, Nashville Sports Council. Scott, how you doing?
I'm doing good, and unfortunately not battling that.
Good.
David has.
Good. Yeah, it's not okay. Fun. So are you doing a little bit of traveling today?
I am. We traditionally this time of year sit down with the ACC and meet with them a couple weeks before bowl selections and just kind of talk through possible scenarios there's a Pinstripe Bowl here and the Charlotte guys and Sun Bowl and Gator Bowl and the ACC staff. And we kind of traditionally this time of year kind of talk through possibilities and preferences for everybody as we sit here with 2 weeks ago in the regular season. So.
Okay. We'll put that on pause. We'll come back to your bowl game. But it was a big day yesterday, and I want to kind of walk us through, you know, it's really good to hear that the SEC basketball tournament is going to be in our city and in Bridgestone Arena for a long time. So how did that all come together? It makes sense. I've been telling Greg Sankey this for years. Stop fighting it. Stop. Nothing against St. Louis and Tampa. Just stop it. It belongs here, and it looks like now the conference agrees.
Well, I think it's a long road here of kind of getting it to this point, but a very – very positive one, I think, for our city, in that, 5 years ago, 2013, we agreed on a 12-year agreement where they would anchor in Nashville through 2026. The first cycle went through really positively, 3 years of the men's tournament, last year the women's tournament. And with that, I think the growth of the city, the popularity of their fan base, the feedback that they got on the whole environment that Nashville is able to create, really started opening up discussion of, hey, what time do we, when do we need to start thinking about securing this thing a little beyond 2026? And we're very fortunate that the mayor's office, the Sports Authority, the Predators, Bridgestone Arena, and then ultimately the SEC all kind of aligned that, hey, we need to push this thing out. This is the right place for it. And we're very honored that they've got the confidence that we can host their conference tournament all the way through. I think we all feel like, you know, if there's one sporting event, a multi-day sporting event that fits our city, this is the one that's just a hand-in-glove kind of fit. And we're very fortunate to lock it down for the next 17 years.
Your job, like many jobs, Scott, is all about relationships. And how much does it help whenever you have the guy running the conference, a powerful guy like Greg Sankey, who loves this market? I mean, let's just be perfectly honest. He makes no bones about it. He loves Nashville. How much does that help the whole relationship thing whenever you can, you're talking about events like this and other stuff where you know the commissioner really likes the market that we all live in and support?
Well, it's vital. I don't know how to underscore that any more than just saying it's a necessity. Because really, I mean, we started thinking about this and for several months started working through, as you can imagine, all the what ifs. What's the building look like, in 10, 15 years? What's available to us? What's the tournament look like? What's the city look like? What's the hotels look like? What if, what if, what if? And so you've got to enter into this thing with a level of trust, knowing that there's a lot of situations where you sit down and you say, hey, we agree that we're going to sit down and talk about it if certain things change or conditions change in the next 10 to 12 years, which we can't foresee at this particular time. So, you know, I think over the 20-plus years that I've been fortunate enough to do this, between the bowl game, the SEC tournaments that we've hosted, some of the NCAA tournaments that their key administrators or athletic directors have sit on, whether it be the Women's Final Four, NCAA Men's Tournament, the NCAA golf tournament that we have coming up, those kind of events, I think, just builds a level of trust that our city works together well enough. So I think that's the second layer of relationships, Darren, that has been very obvious to those folks coming in. You know, our mayor's office, our police, our public works, our the Predators, the arena, the volunteers, the hotels, the CVB, everybody kind of works together well to put on a great show for them and their fans, and I think that's very recognized. And I think yesterday's announcement is a pretty historic agreement. I can't think of another major sporting event that's anchored into a city contractually for 17 years going. So it's a great compliment to our city.
It really is remarkable, and you deserve a lot of credit for that. Scott Ramsey, President and CEO of the Nashville Sports Council, joining us here on 102.5 The Game. Scott, the option for the league through 2035, how flexible is that? It sounds like it's concrete through 2030. How flexible is the extra 5 years, and when do you think the conversations of picking up that option would take place?
Well, Steve, I think it just went back to what I said earlier. I think there's so many what-ifs of what, you know, in 15 years, what's it look like? So I think the athletic directors and the conference staff, just from a prudent standpoint, you know, said, hey, let's extend it five with a five-year option. From our side, we went ahead and did, you know, from a city's perspective, what we needed to commit through 35, so it was already done. We didn't have to go back. And I just think that kind of gave them a little bit of comfort level in the AD and the president's room that, hey, you know, we at least have a little bit of an option. So, you know, that's beyond, Steve, where the Predator's current lease is with the city. That's beyond a lot of things that was the initial 30-year lease, which is 2028. So that kind of said, hey, who's going to be the major tenant? Who's going to manage the arena? What's the arena look like at 30 years old? So I think those are very valid questions from the SEC side that kind of gave them a little option at 2030 to do an evaluation if things don't continue the way they are, which we surely anticipate that they will.
The way the calendar has worked for you in the agreement so far over the last handful of years is that when you've hosted the SEC men's basketball tournament, that's really been it for basketball events in Bridgestone Arena in the spring. But like this past year, when it has been the SEC women's tournament, you've also coupled that more times than not with an NCAA first and second round site for the NCAA basketball tournament. I imagine that's the plan again for 2022 in a few years, but then after that, it's the men's tournament full-time. What does that mean for Nashville's chances of hosting NCAA tournament games in the future?
Well, I think, and I mentioned it yesterday, got that question. My comment really was, you're just going to go case by case right now or year by year. You know, from the NCAA standpoint, they bid out usually groups of 4 or 5 years at a time for the basketball tournament, whether it's first and second or regionals, which has been traditionally at this point the same bid. The NCAA then makes a decision on those sites for those weekends. You know, I think also a thing here to point out is a part of the real compliment here goes to the Predators, David Poile, Sean Henry, the ownership, willing to give up, you know, 7 days in the middle of the March for 17 years out for the SEC tournament. Come back and have a second weekend in March, that last 3 or 4 weeks of the Predators schedule, is going to be dictated on a lot of things. A, you know, what else is on their schedule? How can they kind of work with the NHL, kind of make sure they have enough dates? And then third, just kind of the years we're able to bid on with the NCAA. So a lot of those things have to line up, and those are undefined as we went forward. But we knew we could kind of lock in the SEC, which has just been a home run event for us for 5 consecutive days, you know, in the middle of March. So we felt like having that in there gave us flexibility not to say no or yes to anything, but to look at it and not feel pressure to kind of chase something that maybe wasn't the right fit in a certain year.
Scott, the announcement yesterday fit in very well with something that we've been doing here at 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe did a great job last night on a special program called What's Next, in terms of talking about sort of what the next steps are in the Nashville sports scene. And obviously keeping the SEC tournament is a huge step there. Getting the NFL draft along with some of the other events we've had over the last spring to come next spring is a huge step for the city of Nashville. And I think that's made a lot of people ask the question, well, what's the next big event out there? And you keep hearing people say, Super Bowl. We'd love a Super Bowl. We'd love a Super Bowl in a new stadium here. As the guy in charge of the Nashville Sports Council, what can you tell people about any conversations or thoughts or anything? Or what would have to be the next step to even get a stadium discussion off the ground to lure a Super Bowl or a college football playoff championship game or something like that to Nashville?
Well, That's a pretty common question, Steve, you know, and we've talked about a lot in various settings. But, you know, I think a couple reactions to that question. One, and sometimes take a step back and appreciate where we are, given where we were 15 or 20 years ago and what sports has meant to our city, both economically, both from a development standpoint, both from a quality of life for the citizens. And you know, you couple that with the Amazons and all those kind of announcements that we're hearing, you know, as far as the growth of the city, I think sports has played a key role into that. You know, as you look forward, I think there's certain things now that you get when you start becoming a little bit more strategic about some things because of availability. So from the Sports Council perspective, on top of all the regular seasons, you start looking at every March now the SEC tournament. This April, obviously, the NFL draft, along with our Rock and Roll Marathon, which is the 20th year, second largest in the country, and then the bowl game in December, then how can we kind of take those other areas of time and fit in with a major event? The ones that you mentioned and everybody's tip of tongue, Super Bowl, national championship football game in the collegiate side, and then obviously the men's Final Four, are facility-driven, and I don't think anybody shies away from saying that. You know, we have a 20-year-old open-air natural grass facility. The national championship game, the Super Bowl, played in mid to late January or early February, creates some challenges with that. I don't think our city is shied away from that. Could we host it? Absolutely. Could we win that bid against facilities that are out there right now, the Mercedes-Benz, the Jerry Worlds, the thing that's coming online in Vegas, some of these kind of monstrosities that you're going to be bidding against. So from the men's Final Four standpoint, I think we'd be an awesome site. But we need 50, 60,000 seats under roof to be able to bid on that event. We don't have that right now. So, you know, I think all those are down the line. I certainly think there's a lot of excitement with the MLS stadium coming online. You know, that season and those inaugural seasons, I think, are going to be dynamic. It's maybe not going to be the level of those kind of events, but it's going to open the door for us to go get some events that we, you know, is kind of in that sweet spot for a 30,000-seat stadium. Maybe it's the national, soccer championship for the college side. Maybe it's some SEC championship. So maybe it's some rugby or some lacrosse that we haven't been able to do that we can kind of grow into. So, I think there's a lot of opportunities for our city. I think we work so well together. Our reputation as a sports destination is really positive in the national scene right now. And I think we've got to work hard to maintain and continue to build on that.
Isn't it cool having these conversations, Scott? Remember our conversations 15, 20 years ago? Wasn't like this, was it?
No, it was like, well, you guys are going to be able to survive next year, all that kind of stuff. So, it is, Darren. It's sometimes you do get caught up in it, and sometimes don't really think about how far we've come in 10 or 15 years. And there's so much credit to pass around with the continuity in our market. You've seen that. You've seen that just from the Predator side alone. And, I think that's certainly something that's our foundational success point and something we can't move away from as we look down the road.
How about we get you on here real soon? We'll talk about the 21st Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. Speaking of that, the 21st. How about that? We'll do that here soon. Go to your meetings, and we'll see you when you get back.
You got it. Thanks, guys. Have a good day. Have a good, happy Thanksgiving if I don't see you.
Really appreciate it. You do the same. Thank you. That is Scott Ramsey. He's the president and CEO of the Nashville Sports Council. And, indeed, the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl is set for December 28th. That's on Friday. An earlier kickoff, a 12:30 kickoff on Friday, December 28th at Nissan Stadium. And some interesting things you just heard there. We'll come back and discuss it. On the other side, Darren Adonik, Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5, The Game.
There's something happening here. What it is.
Los Angeles will be in town on Saturday at Bridgestone Arena, Saturday evening. Kings are a mess.
Yeah, good time to get that.
They are a hot mess. Yes.
Hey, they got Carl Hagelin now, though.
So now they have Carl Hagelin from the Penguins. In exchange, the Penguins get Tanner Pearson from Los Angeles. But they get rid of John Stevens and the coaching change. It hasn't changed anything.
Nope.
This just in, it doesn't matter who you put on the bench. If you're old, slow, and you don't have your star goaltender, you're not very good.
Yeah.
So they're not very
good. The two NHL coaching changes to this point
have done nothing.
Exactly worked out.
No, they've done nothing.
Right.
But just keep losing. It's done absolutely nothing.
No spark.
So, no spark at all. So what was your takeaway from the conversation with Scott Ramsey?
Always love hearing from him because he's got the pulse on the scene so much. I thought the question at the end about the future and a stadium and if we had the chance to get a Super Bowl, I thought he was probably the most candid I've ever heard him on that.
I would agree.
Usually he's fairly political about it and doesn't want to dive in, but he got to the meat of it at the end and basically said, I think there's a lot of people in this city who would love to host those events, the Super Bowl, the College Football Playoff National Championship game, a Final Four. He didn't mention it, but certainly a Winter Classic or an outdoor game that a lot of people in this town would love to see the Predators get involved with. And he said, there's really no shot we can do that in the current stadium. We would have to have something that gives us a retractable roof, maybe a different playing surface, but the ability to go inside at that time of year. And he didn't stop short of saying that. He said that is what we would have to have happen. And I don't think he, tipped anything that like those discussions have already happened. But for the first time, Darren, I felt like he was starting to maybe posture that maybe some people at the city level or at the sports council level or organizational level are starting to say, we need to have these discussions.
Sorry, I'm searching for the Jim Rome show. I believe Peter LaViolette is on there.
Okay.
I think.
He's coming up.
I think he's coming up. So I don't know. I put it on there. We'll see if indeed Peter LaViolette's going on Jim Rome.
Hopefully. What did you take away?
I took away exactly what you said. I thought that I've known Scott Ramsey for a long time, and he's done tremendous work. It is hard to believe, and we laughed because it's true. I mean, when you think about that first ever Music City Bowl, which was at Vanderbilt Stadium, Alabama and Virginia Tech. It was kind of a day like this, but much, much colder and kind of freezing rain. And the crowd was great. But, you know, over time, you didn't know exactly how all this was going to work. And Nashville certainly has changed so much where now I kind of feel like Scott Ramsey probably feels like the commercial a lot of times. You know, thank you, Detroit. Detroit was last night. You know, he's traveling. Like, he just had this big announcement, part of the presser yesterday, late afternoon, and here he is in Charlotte. He's doing Music City. They're a part of the draft. I mean, they have more stuff than they can, you know, possibly take in, more than they can chew right now. And that's a good problem to have, and you're right. He's got to basically be friends with everybody. Right. He's got to please a lot of people and have the relationships with a lot of people, as you heard in that interview. And it's not easy to do that. And so when you are in that kind of that situation, you're a lot like a politician. You can't really say a whole lot. You want to keep everybody happy and please everybody as much as you can. And I thought that was probably the most candid answer I've ever heard. It took him a while to get to it, mm-hmm. but as he kept talking about it, he eventually got to the point of, if you want to host all these things, and we should, then you're going to need that facility. And by the way, he named a bunch of stuff that we didn't name in the first hour, like lacrosse and rugby.
Mainly
and,
around the new MLS stadium.
Yeah, I mean, but that's what I'm saying. All these new stadiums brings in new events,
sure.
which brings in new money. And so that's the point of it. But I thought he gave a really candid answer. That's what stood out to me, and that's the bottom line. I think, going back to the conversation, if they really want to put the stake in the ground, if Amy Adams Strunk and the Titans really want to stop everything and get full everybody on board, because that's what we've talked about a lot. While we laughed and WEI laughed, they don't understand this market. They don't live here. Of course, they're just trying to poke fun and have fun. In their market, they don't have any clue what's going on here. Yep. Clearly, life's good up there. We get that. But it's not the same market. And there are things that are factually in play. Okay, it's not an opinion. It's in play because they are facts. Okay, this is not a fan base. There is a portion of the fan base that still has hesitation, that is constantly checking the water, the temperature of the
water.
There's
a reason why there were 20,000 Patriots fans there Sunday.
20, I would say more than 20,000, but either way, right, there were a lot of Patriots fans. Titans fans are not, the masses are not willing to take their shirt off and go jump in the pool without checking first. There's just a lot of hesitation there. And so if you want to end all that and you want to show that you mean business and this is what you're all about, to me, the final stake in the ground is build the new stadium and all that goes away. And it tells this market, we are here to stay. We're one of you. This is our new beautiful palace. Mm-hmm. And come see all the wonderful events we're going to host all the time.
Yeah, that would be cool. Scott Ramsey was cool. I thought it was interesting there because I thought it was telling, because I think it was the first time I've heard anyone in the powers that be. You and I can sit here and talk about this all we want. We can take the phone calls like we did in the first hour, and they can back us up and say the number one thing they want is a stadium, because the number one thing they want is the Super Bowl in terms of events or the College Football National Championship game. We can have this unanimous thought here on 102.5 The Game, and it's not going to get anything done because we're not the powers that be on this thing. Scott Ramsey was the first time that I feel like I've heard someone who's actually in the know or will actually be at the decision-making table on this, whether it be from the city perspective or the sports council or the organizational level, sort of admit that is the next step, that we've got to talk about the stadium because we're ready to do those things other than that. I think that's a big step.
Yeah. When you know that is the final piece, because when we used to talk, I mean, because that was the discussion piece. I know. I was privy to those meetings. I was in some of those meetings when the NHL brass were in town and they were over at the Predators facility. They were over at the arena and the Predators wanted to host the stuff. This was way back then. And why can't we get an All-Star game? Why can't we get the draft? Why can't we do this? And I was a part of those conversations, and they would say, you see that convention center across the street? That's not good enough. you need a new convention center. And whenever they wanted to host a women's Final Four and all these big, which at the time, sure, you're like, wow, that would be so huge for this market. I mean, we're going way back. I listen to those conversations, and I know what happens behind the scenes whenever you get told, we love your city, love you guys, but that convention center across the street, it's not going to get it done.
Yeah.
You need a new convention center. Get a new convention center, and you know what? We will be here.
Well, and hotel rooms for the longest time, too. You don't have enough hotel rooms.
That was the next thing I was going to bring up. And then they would say, you know, God, I love downtown, but you don't have a whole lot of hotel space. You need more hotels. And so I was a part of those conversations, and I know how frustrating that is for people like Scott Ramsey and Butch Spiridon, who are always trying to drum up business, get people here, and the Predators, who were trying to get big events here. And they were told, yeah, we love you, but you need this and you need that. Well, that's exactly what we're at. Like, it's even escalated 10 times that. Now it's a no-brainer. Of course we love your city. Of course we love what's going on here. This is the perfect place to do X. But then we know what the but is. And then the but comes, and then it's, but your stadium is not going to get it done. That's not what we're looking for. You need what Minneapolis and San Francisco and Atlanta and Indianapolis and, oh, by the way, Scott Ramsey brought up, and what Vegas is going to do. And guess what? They're going to start getting all the big ticket items.
Yep.
Build that thing, and then you'll be in line with everybody else, and you'll be right there, and you'll have just as much of a fair shot as all these other cities that keep getting these events over and over and over again. But until then, it's, we love you, but do we want to keep doing that? I don't.
The thing that has made this city so special for so long is how forward-thinking they have been. I mean, from Governor Bredesen at the time, or I guess Mayor Bredesen at the time, when it was first announced that the Titans and Preds were coming, through the last couple years. But now this is the next step, and for the first time, it appears that they're willing to have the conversation. I think that's a really good thing.
I want to talk to anybody out there that may have been dealing, or may be dealing, not have been, not past tense, maybe dealing with numbness or tingling in your arms, your legs, your hands, or your feet. And maybe this is the first time this has ever happened, and you're looking around going, what in the world is going on? Well, the board-certified surgeons at the Vein Center, they can help you. They care about you, the patient. These folks are local. They live right here in this community, and they want to help you. And when you go there, you're going to see a doctor, whether it's Dr. Lee or Dr. Kim or Dr. Edwards, Dr. Snyder, Dr. Kaiser, Dr. Bernal, to name a few. They're Middle Tennessee's most established vein treatment practice. Those surgeons, those doctors have over 100 years of combined vein expertise. Their priority is you, the patient. They don't believe it's a one-size-fits-all. They believe every one of you deserve to sit down with them and hear what's going on, diagnose the problem, and get you headed in the right direction. So if you're somebody that has heaviness or aching in your legs at the end of the day, go see the experts at the Vein Center. Three convenient locations here in Middle Tennessee: Belle Meade, Cool Springs, and Mount Juliet. Don't forget, most procedures are covered by insurance. If you need to make that appointment, the number is 615-269-9007, or you can always check out their website, veinreliever.com. Tim Hasselbeck coming up at noon. Michael wants to talk about the matchup, Titans and Colts in Indy, Sunday at noon. Michael, what's up?
Hey, friend. Thanks for taking this call.
Sure.
Listen, I'm hearing some stuff from Reggie Wayne. He talked about how they're going to kick our butts. He's going into the ring. But I tell you what, man, our Titans D, we got a new attitude, and we're ready to go up there. And I believe we're going to do some things to the Colts. My thing was, hey, if you want to kick some butt, you got to bring some butt. And the Titans' attitude has changed. We're ready. They got the big boy pants on. And it's all about the attitude now with us, man. Hey, we're not more getting kicked around by the Colts. We're going to do some things to luck. Hey, I just can't wait, and just fired up about it and wanted to hear what y'all had to say about it. And we don't need no bulletin board material. Titans D is for real. All right, just I'll sit back and listen to what you have to say
all right,
about it.
We'll comment on it. Thank you for the call, Michael.
Is Reggie Wayne playing Sunday?
Is he going to have an impact? I wish he was playing. That would be great. That would be fantastic. You know what's interesting is we've been talking about how bad the Indianapolis offensive line has been for really a long time now.
Not anymore.
And how they've gotten Andrew Luck crushed, killed, almost 2 years of absence in the NFL. Now all of a sudden they're a fort. They're a brick wall. I mean, you can't get to him anymore. How did that happen? I guess you fired the lousy GM?
Well,
I mean, has Chris Ballard changed it that quickly?
I think the lousy GM is responsible for some of these
really?
Picks. But, you know, you have three first-round offensive linemen up there and a second-round pick on your offensive line. That's a pretty good foundational start up there. And they've finally started to mesh together. And the thing is, if you give Andrew Luck time and keep him clean, he can tear people apart. This is a team that's averaging 29 points per game. Luck has had a passer rating of above 100 the last three games, which is the first time in his career he's ever had three consecutive games where he's topped 100 in the passer rating column. So this is an offense that's clicking right now. It's going to be a test for the Titans. But he brought up something there, Darren. He said that he really liked the attitude or that this team needs to bring an attitude now. That was what was apparent to me on Sunday. Yes, the Titans won. They had a great game plan. They executed. They beat the Patriots. But the thing that was maybe most impressive to me is that didn't look like a team that, while all of us in the press box and in the stands were kind of looking at each other like, huh, where did this come from? That didn't look like a team that was shocked that it was beating the Patriots in the way they did. To me, that looked like a team that had swagger. And a team that looked like it believed it could do that, that's big to me because they need to take that same swagger and belief in Indianapolis and say, you know what? You guys are hot. You're playing well. You're throwing it around the yard. You're putting up points. You're putting up yards. But we're the number one scoring defense in the league, and we're going to walk in here and shut you down.
The one thing that I took out of that, it was interesting, him talking about the swagger and it's back. And it was also there and back after the Philadelphia game, and everybody had the same feelings in this market. These shows – everything felt the same. And then I don't need to go back revisionist right. history because we all know what
Did
happened.
Did you see any swagger in Buffalo?
No.
Yep.
No. And so that's what I just want to make sure that that is the case. Like, this is what it is moving forward because we've all been here already to this point. 3-1 start. Everything felt great. Taylor Lewan and guys in that locker room are going, look at us. Talk about us. We're here. We've arrived. We just beat the Eagles that won the Super Bowl. And then, splat. So, you just go to Monday Night Football, you beat the Dallas Cowboys. That got people's attention, even though Dallas isn't great. It still got people's attention. You do it on that stage, down there, and you take control in the second half. And then, you beat the dynasty, and you beat them up bad. And they put their heads down, they surrender midway through the fourth quarter, and they just pack up their stuff with 10 points on the board and call it a day. They clocked out with 7.5 minutes to go in the game, and it's just something we don't ever see from the New England Patriots. And so it's right back to that point because let's all remember what it looked and felt like after the Philadelphia game. It was a crazy game. They just kept converting fourth downs, and they kept fighting and scratching and clawing, and there were a lot of green in the stands, and they were rooting for the Eagles, and they shut them up, and they went home sad. And the Titans and everything felt great, and Monday and that whole week was, man, this thing is off and running. And then that happened. So it's right back to where it was. So the question is, this is the exact point. Is this going to be the Buffalo game? Is this going to be the, where are they? Hello, wake up. Are we going to see those tweets about 12:45 on Sunday? Where are the Titans? You know, this team doesn't look inspired.
Mm-hmm. Does this time feel different to you?
It does. Because I think the head coach is growing every week. Mm-hmm. I think the players are growing every week. Some of the younger players are growing and getting better because I think there are less question marks. But it doesn't mean they can't revert back to that. It's sure. not like I'm 100% sold. It's not like I'm ready to put the sold sign in the front yard yet.
You're not quite ready to take your shirt off and jump in the pool yet either.
No. Well, I'm not ready to do that.
I'm with you. I think it feels different, but I probably would have said the same thing for a lot of the reasons you just mentioned after the Philadelphia game. New coach. They were already in the playoffs last year. This is a team that just gets it, and then they lost. So they've got to prove it. I do think it feels different. I think this feels like a team that can go take care of business in Indianapolis and make it three in a row and then have a shot to grab hold of that division in Houston a week from Monday night. I think it feels like that team right now, but we've never really seen it from this group going back years and years. So they have to prove it.
Billy in Ashland City. Billy, what's up?
Hey, got a quick question. We're giving Andrew Luck a lot of credit, and I can respect that. But have you looked at his last three opponents? Buffalo, Jacksonville, and Oakland's defensive line don't scare anybody.
True.
The Titans should go up there and handle business anyway. Don't look at what he's done the last three games because the opponents are a joke. Look at the quarterback you're facing. If he's not upright, he can't hurt us.
Okay. Thank you very much. I mean, I don't think
– Titans have never beaten Andrew Luck, just a reminder.
I know. Look, if you want to say Oakland's garbage, okay, I'll sign up for that. But, I mean, Buffalo and Jacksonville, their defense, while they're two teams that are struggling mightily this year, are their defenses garbage? I'm not willing to say that.
Jacksonville's defense isn't garbage.
Buffalo's defense isn't garbage.
No.
So, I mean, I do think – I mean, remember, they routinely got number 12 killed. Like, it felt like Garantano this year, right? Like, every game, it was like, oh. Some of those hits, like, oh, is he going to get up? Kind of what we've seen out of Garantano and UT because of that offensive line this year. But for whatever reason, it's not happening. They're doing a good job of protecting him, and that will be interesting. They were able to get to Tom Brady. Are they going to be able to get to Andrew Luck? We'll ask that and more with Tim Hasselbeck to kick off the third hour of Darren and Donch, although it's Steve today. On Nashville's
I can be Donch.
On Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game.